Praise the Lord. Is he good? Wow. I like that last verse we just sang. He set his hope in you guys, in us, in me. Wow. How can that be? I would say maybe you're misguided. No. He knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. Well, today I really come with some fear and trepidation because God said, I want you to teach on judgment. Anyone volunteer for that one? So, I have probably almost never, I may have alluded to it, but judgment is something I kind of stay away from. And I don't know about you, but I've gone through a lot of performance reviews in my life. Anybody else? Every job, every corporation has them. And I can always almost smell the tension in the air when it's time for performance reviews. And everybody's like, I don't really like this. And the newer ones are worse than the old ones. They try to make them better. You know, all the psychologists, but it always ends up worse to me. Like the one they use now in Marist was Performance 360, meaning you get your performance review from everyone, not just your boss. The old days, your boss says, yeah, you're pretty good. We'll keep you. You know. And or you might say something else, like you need to improve A, B, C, and D. And you're really good at E and F, whatever. But it's always a review that you're looking to a person and persons for feedback. In actual fact, you should be getting that kind of feedback every day. Not once every while, you know, once a quarter, once a year. You should be in tune with what's going on around you. And I don't know how to explain that, but it's like, when you go into the grocery store, you have relationships with everybody that's there as they pass you by and maybe even want to talk to you or check you out at the checkout counter. How'd you do with that? You were buying a product, they're selling it to you. How'd you do? Most of the time, I would say probably not too well. But, you know, recent, I like to make conversation. There's reason I do that, because I actually want to like people. Because if I stop doing it, I'll start to dislike people. Because most of the people that are presented to me are on the news media, and they don't really show their good side very often. I try to make things look as worse as possible. It doesn't matter which news media. So we do that too. We get caught up in that judgment attitude. And when we come into church on Sunday, isn't it wonderful we can leave that at the door? But I'm going to teach you judgment from a New Testament point of view. This is not to the Old Testament saints. It's not to those who weren't saved or intended to be saved. This is to the New Testament group that was following the Lord. So these are New Testament scriptures, not something that's going to happen in the future necessarily, but what's going on. And it speaks about what motivates you more than what the outcomes are. It doesn't throw the outcomes away, but it talks about your relationship with God the Father, the first one. So let's go there, the parable of the talents. You all know it, Matthew 25, verse 14. A talent in the New Testament is referring to money. So talent is worth about between $4,000 and $5,000 today's money. That's really meaningless. To me, when I first heard this parable, a teaching, a talent, was more than just money because it's referring to your ability to do things. Money gives you the ability to do things too, right? But God has given to each one of us something in our character that's different than anybody else. And those are talents too. So I'm going to take liberty and expand that word to real or English version of talent. What God has given to us is a gift to us. What do we do with that? For it says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man. So he's telling us this is what the kingdom is like. We always want to be in the kingdom, right? Heaven is there waiting for us. It's like a man traveling to a far country, and he called his own servants and delivers his goods to them. So he's distributing to them what they need. And God has done that for us too, hasn't he? And to one he has given 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to what? His own ability. So it isn't the fact that he just has money. See, that's where I think the translation of that word goes wrong. To his own ability talks about things he can do, and he or she can do, our talent. What are you doing with our talent, your talent, and why are you doing it or not doing it? Those are the kind of questions that Jesus is going to address. And immediately he went on a journey, verse 16, then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So this is a good one for E-Trade. I love that commercial. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money, his master, his boss, whatever. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came back and to settle accounts with them. So there's going to be a settling of accounts. God doesn't want us to be vagrants doing nothing. But through the right motivations, he wants to motivate us to be a blessing to the world. His hope, remember that last verse, his hope is in us. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought forth the 5 other talents and saying, Lord, you delivered me to 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Not much of a bragger. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter, now here's the key to what's going to happen in the end times. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Almost everybody that does something gets to enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, he who also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 talents besides them. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. The same thing. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So it isn't really about how much talent you have. See, that's the key of that point of that verse. It's not how much the Lord gave you. You could say to yourself, well, I can't do what you do, Peter, or I don't have that talent. I can't play the guitar. I can't do this. I can't do that. But that's not what it's talking about. So whatever he gave you is enough. And sometimes at the end of our life, that's very apparent. Whatever he gives us to us then, it's enough for that day. Verse 24. Sadly, verse 24. He received the 1 talent, that guy. He said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. See, right away, the motivation is presented to us. Knowing God correctly is very, very important. Knowing how he judges and what he's doing in your life is very important. And this guy was right away saying, I know that you were a hard man. That's not true. First thing you say to yourself, well, that's not true. The Lord is not a hard man. So he did not know the Lord. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. How did he know that? Well, maybe he had a bad experience. But bad experiences in your life are a solitary experience, not overall. How many have had bad experiences and you didn't blame the Lord? Sometimes a lot of people that I can see in this room have done that. So it's, well, I don't know what the Lord's doing. That's blaming the Lord. And I was afraid. So what is the end, the motive and the thing that's there that's motivating him? Fear. And if you find yourself being motivated by fear, you better turn around. Repent. Get out of there. Get away from there. If your job is just bringing you to a place of being afraid all the time, it's probably the wrong job. No amens to that? Yeah, it's probably the wrong job. So you should say to your boss when he gives you that appraisal, just be careful what you say to me. I think I said that in more than one ways to different people. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there it is. What's yours? Lord, the answer is, you wicked and lazy servant. So he's wicked, meaning he doesn't really understand, and he's on the wrong side, and he's on the wrong team, and you're lazy besides. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and yet, and gather where I have not seed, and yet, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, give it to somebody else, and at my coming, I would have at least received 0.4%. That's what it is today, by the way. So take the talent. So he took the talent from him and gave it to him who has 10 talents. Now, nobody had 10 talents in the beginning. It was 5, 5, 2, 2, but nobody had 10. But in the end, that guy that had 10 was the one who had 5, right? Now he has 10. So he already got something. Now he's getting even more. Is that fair? Not in the world's vision, that's not fair. You know, it's not fair to a lot of people in Congress. It's not fair. God isn't about being fair. God is about motivating you correctly. Because if you are a Christian and called to be in the kingdom of God, that's what he's talking about, the kingdom of God. You're not going to be motivated by those performance appraisals. You're going to be motivated by who God is in your life and what he's given to you. And you're going to be joyful about doing what he wants you to do. Verse 31, and when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and his holy angels with him, that's going to be some sight to see, right? And we'll be sitting on the throne of glory. Whoa, this is going to be such a great time. All the nations will be gathered before him. Nobody's exempt. And he will separate them one from another. So there's going to be judgment. Now, whether he's referring to the great right throne judgment or the judgment of Christ, really doesn't matter. There's going to be judgment. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. And as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, all of a sudden we're back in the agricultural metaphors. Jesus loves to use sheep. I thought about that for a while. Sheep and goats hardly ever are raised together, but sometimes are. But you would know a goat from a sheep pretty easily, wouldn't you? One reason why farmers like sheep or sheep herders like sheep is because they like doing what you want to do. They're very passive. That's why they get lost pretty easily. Oh, look, something's over there. You know, they don't have a mind of their own. But goats typically have their own opinion. Yeah. So if a goat doesn't like you, maybe it's just the way you look. You know, be careful when you turn around, because you may get his horns right there. His intentions won't be nice and not be good. And he'll walk away very proud of what he did. So why does the Lord like sheep? Sheep aren't just passive. Sheep, in fact, many times are not passive, but they do the will of the Father. And they're in the sheepfold. And they're wanting to do the will of the shepherd. Whereas the goat, independent-minded, says, I'm going to do whatever I want, and I don't care. You're a hard taskmaster, and that's it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I have to be true to myself. Have you heard that one? I remember people in the government service coming up to me, I don't know, Peter, why you do what you do. I'm in it for me. And they actually said those words. I said, whoa. Name was John. I said, John, I'm going to pray for you, brother, because that's not a good place to be. Because in the end, he's going to divide the goats from the sheep. There has to be something in you. And maybe your boss will say something wrong to you. Like, Peter, I don't think you're doing enough with the doctors. You need to get up there and have more conversations with them. I said, boy, this boss does not know how many times I talk to doctors all day long. But he's 100% wrong. But I still say, yes, I know. I'll try to do better. There's a purposeful in my heart to be congenial, to be not righteous, because I don't think that has anything to do with righteous, but make my heart malleable to the Lord primarily through him, my boss. That's pretty hard for people to do. Right? It's okay when he's right, but what if he's wrong? What if your husband is wrong? What if your wife is wrong? What if your children are wrong? So you behave differently in each encounter. Whereas if you're a sheep, there's going to be something you of Christ that's going to be there for them. And maybe later they'll see that you were really correct and come back to you and say, you know, Peter, I'm sorry. And some have done that. Peter, I'm really sorry. I misjudged you. Well, here's the deal. Verse 33. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. That's probably where they got the left and the right politically. Just kidding. I heard that somewhere. I think it's kind of funny, actually. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father. Wow, they were blessed. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So from the very beginning, it's waiting for you. For I was hungry and you gave me food. So here's the work that's before you. People. It's not building a building, a city. People. For I was hungry and you gave me food. That food may be literal food, but more importantly, it could be spiritual food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. You may have never done those things literally, but if you do, you're not going to be judged incorrectly for them. I can remember when I pulled into a gas station somewhere in Boone, North Carolina, South Carolina, somewhere down there. And this young man came up to me, probably in his late teens, early 20s. His girlfriend and child were in the car. And I could see he was having trouble at the pump. And he says, mister, could you lend me 20 bucks? I had a Volkswagen van full of kids. Wasn't working all that well. Like I said, are you kidding me? Why don't you give me 20 bucks? I could use it. But I didn't. I had 20. I said to the Lord, well, do I have $20? Yeah, I just happened. Nowadays, I never have that money. But I just happened to have $20. And I gave it to him and walked away. Not so that I could be blessed, but so he could be blessed. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. All these things are good works. There also can be fleshly works and dead works if you don't do them under the right attitude and the right reason. If you're doing them just to be a good boy, that's wrong. It's dead work. But if you're doing them in the name of the Lord, for his righteousness to go forth, then it's okay. It's not only okay, it's really good. It's called good work. Verse 37, the righteous will answer that this group, the good group, will say, Lord, when did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you drink? See, you're not just ministering to people, you're ministering to God himself. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you have done to one of these least of my brethren, you did it to me. That should be our motivation. to please God, not people. To please God, not to satiate hunger, but to please God. And you know the people that are doing it one way or the other. It's pretty obvious sometimes. Well, most of the time. You're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. You see them, you say, oh, if I could just get a hold of that person and show them the right way, that what they're doing is okay, but it's just dead work. They need to be doing it in Christ Jesus. Verse 41, those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You're going to go to the wrong place. The end result for not doing the will of God is not a good thing. And not doing the will of God in the right motivation, more importantly, not in fear. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. So a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. And sick, in prison, and you did not visit me. And I will answer, and they then will also answer him, saying, well, when did we do this to you? And when were you stranger, naked, sick, prison? When did I did not minister to you? And then he answered to them, most assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done the least one of these, doesn't even say my brother in here, you have done it to me. These will go away into everlasting punishment, into eternal life, instead of into the eternal life. But the righteous into eternal life. There we go. So there's a difference. Isn't there? Now, see, I think that what God was saying to me is that it isn't going to be a time of review, annual review. Let's see how you did. It's going to be, are you a sheep or a goat? Are you going to be about doing the will of the Father, even if you don't do it right? You're purposed in your heart to do it right. You see, it isn't, and even if the outcome wasn't good, if you purposed in your heart to be good, like Jesus was good. See, Jesus wasn't about judging his disciples. What did he do? He took off the robe around him, and which girded him, and he washed their feet. And yet, that in itself was a judgment. He said, don't do this to me. I'm not worthy. Well, it's not about your worthiness, Peter. It's about me. It's about me calling you to myself. When I do that, I don't want you here, no way. You're a hard taskmaster. He is. And yet he isn't. Because when I go to heaven, I'll tell you, if there's a queue saying Jesus, another queue saying the great white throne, I'm going to go to the one that says Jesus. Because when you're in that queue, Jesus is going to say, you know what? I washed you of all your sin, the sinful nature that made you sin in the first place. I washed you clean of that, and I died on the cross for that. I suffered an agony for that. I bled my blood for that. I came to this earth, who would want to come here, for that. I came knowing that there would be many who would not follow me and spit in my face and put a crown of thorns on my head. That there would be many who would be goats and turn away from the word of the Lord. Turn away when they actually heard the truth. Many don't even hear the truth today. But they hear the truth and they still turn away. Who was that? Judas was one of those. God did not create man so that he could walk away, and it hurts God every time they do, because God came in this world to save all people, that they would all turn to him, but not all will. And he says in that verse that he didn't come to judge, they already were judged because they didn't do and receive the Son of God. The angels came down and said, There's a good news for you people. Mary is going to have a little child. There's going to be peace between you and the Father, not judgment alone. And remember how he described himself to Moses? He said, nobody can see the face of God, so I'm going to hide you behind a cliff in a cleft of my hand, and you will hear the voice of God. And he said, loving kindness, one of the first things out of his mouth. Judgment wasn't there in the first things out of his mouth, but it was there. He says, but not forsaking righteous judgment. Now, something in me that likes that. Something of a goat in me, I think. I say, well, they'll get their karma. I shouldn't even use that word. They'll get their just desserts. They'll get what's coming to them. You know, if that's in your heart, you need to repent. Because the judgment of which you judge others will come and judge you. And that's a motivational judgment. And it also speaks about you're really not happy with who you are and how you're being judged, how you're judging yourself. I do that a lot. Judge myself. I say, wow. Some good and some bad. How I should judge myself is whether I'm on the right path or not. You see, that sin that God can't forgive is one that's a practiced sin, not a sin of omission or a sin of forgetfulness or a sin of somehow you just did the wrong thing by mistake. Those are all forgivable. But if you do it on purpose as a habit, it's not forgivable. You need to change, repent, turn around from that. Purpose in your heart. If you have done it and you're still falling, do it again. As long as it takes, or as long every day that you live. Lord, forgive me of sins. It should never be a time you say, I don't have any sin. Well, we don't under the blood of Christ, but we do sin, John says. And we need to ask forgiveness for that. Lord, forgive me. Not just of the sin, but what motivation was there in me that made me do that? Put that person down. Make that person feel less than he or she was or should be. So I judge not only myself, but I judge others even more harshly than I do me. So, oh, why can't they use the talent that God gave them for crying out loud? Almost like, why do I have to endure this? You know, kind of thing. And the Lord would say, hey, I had to endure you. And I still am. Yes. One of the best things about life are children. Grandchildren, too. Because they can show you their motivations too easily. And also their joy. What makes them happy? And what makes grandparents happy? What do you think? Well, almost anything a child does can make a grandparent happy. It doesn't take much. I was going into the main family room at the Trapp Family Lodge where we were staying a couple of weeks ago, and Anders' children were there. So Sarah, Olivia, and Benjamin. Benjamin is, what, a year and something. And so he can walk now. That's a dangerous place to be. He can say maybe four or five words, I don't know, but it's hard to interpret. But his body language is pretty easily interpreted. So he was way on the other end of the family room, and he saw me come into the room, and he yells out something that sounds like granddad. It probably was granddad to him, but, you know, to English-speaking people, it was probably Welsh. Anyway, it sounded like granddad to me. And he proceeded to do kind of a jig dance across the floor to where I was. And I said, well, that was interesting. A big smile on my face. I have never been greeted like that before by anyone. Cheryl had to remind me that's not quite true. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. But how we greet the Lord is important. It speaks so much of who we are in him and who he is in us. We're not separate from him. We're like annealed together with him. As Tim was trying to relate this morning, it's like we're not here just to praise the Lord, somehow get it off our chest. This is not just a time of feeling good. This is reality of who we are in Christ. What a wonderful place to be. So when we go to judgment, now there's two things that are going to go through me. That one is going to be intense sadness. When I see all those, I could have said something to and didn't. That's kind of a motivation for evangelism, isn't it? So why wouldn't I have said something? Anything. Just open the door. Maybe it isn't you have to say anything. Just open the door. Spend some time. See if they're going to say anything to you. Now, we did that yesterday to a member lady we met at Sarah's piano concert. And she didn't want to hear from me at all. I left the door open. She wanted to say something. She knew where I was coming from. So, well, you to play the piano? Not much anymore, but I do play the guitar at Bible study at my home group. Oh, that was the end of the conversation. But you know what? I opened the door. She didn't want to come through. So there's going to be a lot of weeping. Let's not walk away from that. And that's what Jesus says, that weeping and gnashing of teeth, not just to those who are going the wrong direction, but the righteous as well, I think. But Jesus says, let's go back to that verse, enter into my joy. Now let's just do that. So he's going to do that. And we're going to have so much joy at the time of judgment. It won't be like your annual physical with your doctor. That's the ultimate judgment. The ultimate judgment is you're not exercising, you're eating too much. Thank you, doctor. It isn't going to be like that at all. It's going to be fun for you and for me. It's going to be something about righteousness which we only have a glimpse of. That's what I'm trying to say to us. We just don't get it, what real judgment is in the Lord. Because when he said the name of the Lord, loving kindness and judgment were both in the same sentence. When he talks about don't judge others in Matthew, he also in the same chapter talks about righteous judgment. And Jesus looks at his disciples, oh, I wish that you would be about righteous judgment. So you'd know the goats right away. See that? There's a goat behavior. Maybe you can be an instrument of mine, because that last verse we sang, my purposes are fulfilled in you. What purpose is that? To bring people to the Lord, but also just to express who God is on this earth. They may never know him personally, but they'll know him through you. Your smile, the way you hold your countenance, the way you get up in the morning, the way you look yourself in the mirror. Okay, that's a hard one. Sometimes. I'm learning how to do it really well. Now, usually my wife gets up before me. So before I even look at the mirror, she's sitting in a chair reading something on her iPod or whatever. And she smiles at me, says, good morning, honey. And most of the time there's a smile. Not always. It's like, oh, wait a few minutes. You know what I get on Facebook a lot is, wait till I have my cup of coffee. Don't even talk to me. I hear that a lot. So they're turning coffee as a drug. It is. It's not addictive. Well, it is addictive, but it's not as addictive as really addictive, abusive drugs. In fact, some people will say it's good for you, but it's all right. But I don't want to lean on my coffee somehow to make me righteous, to make me somehow happy that Jesus is in my life. I want it to be him. Right, Tim? I want it to be him, really. So thank you, Lord God, that we can come to you this morning with that in our heart. Not the idea of judging others or judging ourselves, but the fact that you have already judged us to be righteous on the cross. And Lord, you want us to do good works. That's what this chapter is about. There's a lot of good works waiting for us to do. But Lord God, we want to be so in love with you that there is no fear anymore. We're not motivated by fear to take medications. We're not motivated by fear to even to eat the right food groups. I do. I try to. But that's not our motivation. Our motivation in the morning is to be your child, one of your sheep. And when you call us, you said, "You know my sheep, hear my voice." No, my sheep know my voice. There's something about the tonality of his voice that we would recognize. The scent is in the air. Oh God, sometimes the Holy Spirit so moves so powerfully in the churches. I've heard it say, they can smell the rose of Sharon, the scent of God. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you can hear the angels sing. And that's where we want to be. Even in our routine humdrum life of just meeting people, it isn't just meeting people, is it? It's expressing the kingdom of God. So thank you, Father, for giving us the will and the desire to do your will here on this earth. We pray for your power to do that in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.